today. And we're going to read a portion here in Ephesians 6 that is to the Christian soldier. And you know, all believers are in the Lord's army, whether they know it or not. Whether they know it or not. And we read of course, this is future. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, when it's time for the Lord to come to earth in judgment, we're going to be in heaven and we're going to come with him. And it says, all the armies of heaven follow him when he comes. That's you and I. We're part of that army. It is a time of judgment, but it's a time of victory. Because he's coming to judge the ungodly of this world, and especially the nations. And but now, today, in this time that we're living in, we do have an adversary, Satan and his evil forces. And the battle is fierce. Now, this is a spiritual battle. And it is especially fierce for those who have taken their place with Christ in the heavenlies. You know, that's where God has placed us. That's, you might say, provisional. And we have to lay a hold of that by faith and claim that place in the heavenlies by faith with Christ. And in the second chapter of Ephesians, we had this earlier when we studied that, in verse 5 and 6, it says, God hath quickened us together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, all believers haven't taken that place. We take it by faith. And then we learn. We learn the devices and power of the devil. And he knows, the devil knows, by our persistent faith in the Lord, that he will someday be ousted from that dominion that he has in heaven. See what makes the battle so fierce, this spiritual battle? And so it is. We are in a battle. A spiritual battle. And God has purpose in it all, and he admonishes us. Verse 10, let's read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes, we're on the earth, but the spiritual fight is where Satan dwells. And we cannot cope with the devil in ourselves. But by faith, we count on God. God's greater than Satan. And what do we read in Scripture? We count on God, count with him, and Satan has to flee. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. So we must count on God and rest in his word. See how faith comes in? It's all by faith. Then the Holy Spirit will move us to act when it's necessary. And then the Christ life is in manifestation. So isn't that, see God's, how God works? Wonderful and awesome it all is. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You believe it? Zechariah 4:6, we read, the Lord says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Our trust is in him. Let's read verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I know that most of you here have heard this portion on the armor of God many times. But as we read it this morning, and we probably won't get through all of it. When I get 4 pages of notes, I know that's time to quit. And so we may, you know, we're not going to get to the end of it today. It'll be continued to next week. But no matter how many times we have read it and know it and are familiar with it, let us read it this morning, considering that it is God's personal instructions to me. Let us consider it that way. Now, several parts of this armor are named, and it's clearly that they are primarily defensive weapons. And we note this by the words in this portion. We'll read some of them this morning and some of them next week if we're here. And it's words like against, stand, wrestle, withstand, and quench. See, the primary weapon is defensive. Satan is the aggressor. And by faith, we lay a hold of our blood-bought abode in the heavenlies with Christ. Now, we do not fight to obtain that place, but to hold it, because it's already ours in Christ. God has placed us there provisionally. And by faith, the fight, we read in Paul's epistles, it's called the fight of faith. We maintain that place. So, the whole armor is necessary and enables us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles, it means methods, cunning craft. That's Satan's business. That's how he works. And our first act is resistance. Stand against. We just read it. Stand against the methods of Satan. Now, we do not go against his methods with our methods. No. And it's so popular in Christendom. Oh, organize a people. And such appeals like that. It appeals to our intellect. And it seems so pious. And it seems so wise. But how do we go against Satan? Trusting our God. Trusting our Lord. The Lord does not act by methods. So we see how that the Holy Spirit is sadly hindered today in some of these activities. Let's read verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Yes. These evil spirits that follow Satan. Our fight isn't against people, even though Satan does operate through them. Our foe is the god of this world, and we all know who the god of this world is, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's the devil. And he has his organized spirits. And we read in Revelation, the chapter 12 and verse 4, that one third of the angels followed Satan when sin was found in him and he fell. One third of the angels, and they became his servants. Well, every dark movement, I don't care whether it's nationally or whether it's religiously, is directed by evil spirits. Every dark movement. And of course, those evil spirits, their head is Satan. And where is his headquarters? It's in heaven. So no wonder our fight is so fierce. 1 John 4:4, it says, "We are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Yes. God's greater than Satan. Now, we need all of God's equipment to stand and to withstand. And may we not yield to the flow of the world. Now, sometimes we have in our mind just what channel that is. It can even be religious. Let's don't yield to the flow of the world. We're just pilgrims here. We're passing through. And didn't we read here in those special songs? Our destiny's heaven, and he's preparing a place for us. Praise the Lord. Well, we read in chapter 5 not long ago in this book that when we were studying, it says in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 5, it says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." See, don't go with the flow of the world. "Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then in that chapter, we read verse 11, and it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Of course, we're in the world. We live here. And we got to conduct our life here. But that does not mean we have to partake in worldly things. It's not that we hold ourselves above everybody, because we want everybody to know Jesus, don't we? Yes, and be faithful to spread the word. So it says, reprove them. Give them the word. Tell them about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, how's that going to come about? Taking in God's word, "that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Amen? Amen. So you see, our old nature, we have two natures. We have the nature we were born with, that we got from our forefather Adam. And when we accepted Jesus, we have the nature of Christ. Which one are we going to yield to? That old nature will readily go the way of the world. Oh, yes. And even accept deceptive religious theories, because they sound so good. But as we go on with the Lord, as we look into his word and learn his word and lay a hold of it by faith, we find that our flesh then is repulsed by such things. Now, it's not our doings. It's the work of God as we yield and take in the word. For that Christ life that is in us refuses to allow sin to overtake us. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Christendom has sadly drifted away from the simplicity that is in Christ. We read of that in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Moving away from the simplicity that there is in Christ. So many things have replaced Christ, even in religious doings. And what do we find the condition then of Christendom, of the church? We are in that lukewarm condition, the Laodicean condition that we read of in the seven letters in Revelation, the Laodicean condition is the last condition of this age and of the church, and it's lukewarm. Don't we see that? Yes. Don't we see that coming to pass? And that condition is prevalent. But thank God for individuals who follow Jesus without the camp. Hebrews 13, verses 13 and 14 says, "Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, because we're just pilgrims, but we seek one to come." Didn't we not hear that in the special songs? Yes. We seek a city to come. What's that? The New Jerusalem. Twice here already in the scriptures that we have read this morning, we have been counseled to have the whole armor of God. We've already read it twice. And the armor, it's spiritual. And in no sense is it fleshly. It is entirely sufficient for us, and we need no other equipment. The whole armor of God. Let's read verse 14. "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, this is the solid basis, the truth, to which all the other pieces of the armor are joined. The loins speak of man's strength. And, you know, some know the truth and admit it, but that head knowledge gives no practical profit, no spiritual strength. So we are to not only know the word, but we believe it with all of our heart. Believe God's word unto us. It's unto us. Jesus fought Satan. We're all familiar with that account. And with every attack that Satan had against him, Jesus, girded with the truth, proclaimed, "It is written." The word of God. It is written. Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He lived by it, and so can we. I know, and I perhaps you do too, that when we believe God's word, and then when the trials come, the Holy Spirit will bring it to our mind, that which we need from his word to sustain us, and that we are able to stand against Satan's attacks. I'm sure some of you have experienced that and know it to be true. Well, we didn't read the second piece of armor in that 14th verse. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Satan aims at the head and the heart. But if the head and the heart are shielded by God's word, Satan can't harm us. Satan's always on the job. You think you've heard that many a time. And he's always trying to accuse us and to condemn us, to us, to discourage us. In Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17, it is said of our Lord, this is prophecy, his righteousness, it sustained him. His righteousness. Speaking of Christ, we have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness comes from Christ, so that we may walk righteously before God. And also that fifth chapter that we have studied already in Ephesians, verses 8 through 10. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all holiness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We overcome by faith, and it's in the blood of the Lamb. Revelations 12:10, we read there, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, that accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. We read in 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Christ, is righteous. These two pieces of the armor that we find in this 14th verse, they're named together, and they are intimately related. The truth that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification is a breastplate of righteousness that cannot be penetrated by Satan's accusations. That's something to praise God about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's read verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Well, peace comes with righteousness. Yes. And it gives us happy feet. Fitly shod to go with God's message of peace to this troubled world. We read that they do not know the way of peace. That's what the scripture tells us. But we can tell them, can't we? The gospel of peace. Christ died for us, making peace. He died in our place. And now, he is our peace. Ephesians, the second chapter, we had this earlier. Isn't it interesting how that all that's been gone before in Ephesians ties into what we're reading now? Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 15. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes so far off, and have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, as speaking of Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. What's that talking about? The Ten Commandments. What has he abolished? Has abolished in his flesh the enmity between Jew and Gentile, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. That's the new creation. so making what? Peace. And we read in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Yes. Let's read verse 16. I'm going to stop with this verse this morning. As I said, I couldn't make it all the way through. But it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. This is a good place, I think, to pause. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How? By faith. Faith is above all. For every use of these weapons is by faith. Faith makes the truth practical and powerful in our lives. It's good, but oh, by faith, laying a hold of it. Oh, praise the Lord. And faith is the righteousness of Christ, which enables us to walk uprightly in this ungodly world. Then men can't condemn us. And our life brings glory to God. This shield of faith, our shield of faith, just believing God and believing his word and resting in it, quenches all the fiery darts of Satan. Just think of all them darts. Oh, I couldn't name them all. All the ridicule, all the criticism, all the reproach, and so on. Faith lifts us up above all that, so that we reign, overcoming. May God bless this word to your heart this morning. And the only thing I could add is Selah. Meditate on it. You know, my husband, Jack, he said, meditation is a lost art. But let us meditate on his word. You won't be sorry. The Lord will bless you so. Let's have a song.